الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In just a couple of weeks, the month of Ramadan will begin. And for the salik, that person who's striving toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Ramadan carries on a much deeper meaning and deeper purpose. And the reason is because those things that are spiritually necessary for the progression of a believer, they become legally mandated during the month of Ramadan. Those things that are spiritually necessary during the month of Ramadan, those things become legally mandated, which then carries a very different meaning. So let me try to explain this in a different way. So you can take your own life, or for example, that there are many things in your life that you know you're supposed to do because they're for the betterment of yourself, but you find it difficult to do. And only when a circumstance arises that makes it required for you to carry through on it, then and only then do you actually get it done. So let's say, for example, that we know that as human beings, that keeping our house clean is necessary, right? It's very helpful. That anytime something falls on the ground, you want to pick it up. Whenever there's a mess, you want to clean it up quickly, because if you let it accumulate, then clutter builds and then it becomes overwhelming. So in general, it's difficult to upkeep the home, although it's necessary and beneficial for the mind, it's beneficial for the body. It's just a healthier way to live. Yet human beings still struggle to keep their home clean. So let's say that this is your situation, and then you get a phone call from a relative who says, "Hey, listen, I just left. I'm driving from Chicago, and I'm coming to your house. I'll be there in about 6 hours. Sorry, I didn't give you any notice." So what happens? Then you start scrubbing the house clean. Spotless. You'll vacuum. You'll vacuum the carpet. Make sure the dishes are taken care of. You'll make sure all the clothes are picked up off the floor. You'll make sure things are stowed away where they need to be stowed away. You'll make sure things are in their closets as needed. You'll make sure that it's sparkling clean. You'll make sure it smells good. Right? You were supposed to kind of do this anyway, some sort of maintenance on a daily basis, but it's just difficult because of usually laziness. But now, a situation or a circumstance arose that essentially made it mandatory or required for you to keep the house clean. So, it was an opportunity. In fact, some people, in order to maintain the cleanliness of their home, they will invite people to their house every 2 weeks, or they'll have a party in their home every 2 weeks or every 4 weeks. Why? Because they know that at least I'll maintain my house every 2 to 4 weeks. I can't keep it up on my own unless I have some, strong reason to do so. It's just not going to happen. So they'll purposely invite people to their house and know that, hey, listen, it's Sunday night. They're coming. We got to make sure the house is clean. And no matter what, you may even procrastinate until Sunday 4 o'clock, and then everyone's on it. The whole house is everyone at the house is cleaning up the place. And this is the way to sort of upkeep it. So in this situation, what you knew was beneficial for you, which was cleanliness of the home, it was a necessary. It was necessary. It only happened once it became required. Once a circumstance arose that made it required. There's many examples of this, right? Maybe there's an example where you have to study for an exam. Now, you know that you need to get a B on the exam in order to pass. You're kind of taking it easy. And now all of a sudden the professor says that, look, if you can score, a 95% or higher on this exam, then I will write you a letter of recommendation, or I'll let you honor the class. Now everything's changed. You wouldn't have otherwise decided to pursue this, but now all of a sudden you're going to pursue it. You can apply this to your car. Many of us don't do a good job of keeping our car clean, right? But then the minute someone says, hey, can I get a ride? and they're like, oh, and you're like, oh yeah, just give me 1 minute, and you run to your car and you clean it as much as possible. It finally gets clean. So in general, it's difficult, mainly because of our own laziness, to do things that are good. But when it becomes required because of some circumstance, then the job actually gets done. So now we apply this to Ramadan as well. So if you look for the salik, there are many things that are spiritually necessary, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require us to do throughout the year. Many things, right? Qiyamul layl. It's not required, but it's spiritually, it's required or necessary. But legally, it's not required. You have to pray your 5 salahs. That's it. Your fard salah. Recitation of the Qur'an. It's not required for you to recite the Qur'an every day from a legal standpoint. From a spiritual standpoint, it's essentially a requirement. It's necessary. You don't have to fast, you know, at all. You don't have to fast at all outside the month of Ramadan, period. Spiritually, it's very necessary to have some sort of routine of fasting. But it's difficult to do these things outside the month of Ramadan, even though they're spiritually necessary. So as much for the people that are progressing upon this path of suluk, that are trying to become closer to Allah, we realize, we appreciate that there are so many things that we should be doing that are spiritually necessary for us, yet we struggle to do so. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we talked about fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast throughout the year. For the Sadiq, it's part of our, it should be part of our routine as well. It isn't that we just fast in Ramadan. There's Mondays and Thursdays. There's the white days of the month, 13th, 14th, and 15th. Spiritually, it's important to at least implement this to some degree, right? Qiyamul layl, praying, standing up in prayer in the nighttime, whether it be at the Hajj time or whether it be some other time. It's necessary spiritually. In fact, it's almost like I mentioned, spiritually, it's essentially required that a person spend some time in the night standing up in prayer toward Allah. That goes beyond the Isha and the Fajr prayer. Recitation of the Qur'an, it's not legally mandated, but spiritually it's necessary. Every sadiq should be reciting the Qur'an every single day without fail. Yet we find it difficult to do throughout the course of the year, even though we know it's spiritually necessary. So then what happens? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down or forces the universe to enter into the state of Ramadan. He forces the universe and he forces us to enter into the month of Ramadan. So now what happens? All of those things that were spiritually necessary before, now they're legally mandated as well. So we knew that it was beneficial for us outside of Ramadan, but we had a choice. Right? We had a choice. We could decide, I don't need to read Qur'an. It's not required of me. I don't need to stand in prayer at night. It's not required of me. I don't need to fast. It's not required of me. But now Ramadan comes and all of those things then become required. So that a believer has no choice. The salik has absolutely no choice. Fasting is tremendously beneficial. Right? So let's put it this way. Throughout, we have a nafs. And that nafs wants to do whatever it wants to do. It wants to eat, it wants to sleep when it wants, it doesn't want to pray, it wants to engage in sin, it wants to do all of these things. And for 11 months, you're given the choice, should you suppress the nafs through fasting, Qur'an, Salah, or should you just let it go? And the vast majority of people, the vast majority of believers will let the nafs do whatever it wants because they have a choice. And when you leave a human being with choice, or when you leave the nafs with a choice, it will usually make the decision that's in its best interest. Until you change the playing field, and now it's required. So now fasting, which is essential, or let's say fasting in the sense of abstinence from even those things that are halal, which is essential spiritually, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have to do it for 30 days and you have no choice. You have no choice. You are going to spiritually benefit. Your nafs is going to be suppressed. I'm not giving you a choice of should it be suppressed or not. You now have to, it now is going to be suppressed. It's now going to be suppressed. You don't have a choice. Think about it, right? How difficult is it to fast outside the month of Ramadan? It's very difficult. We know that, okay, even in the winter months, when the days really for fasting would be between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m., right? 10 hours, basically missing lunch, having an early breakfast and delaying your lunch a little bit. It's not easy. I mean, most of us struggle to do this, even though it's easy. Now the month of Ramadan, the day is 16 hours long and everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it. There's no, the vast majority of the Muslim ummah fasts. You know, for every one person that prays their salah, 5 Muslims fast, right? If you go to your workplace, you know, you don't even know some people are Muslim. And then Ramadan comes and somehow they're fasting. It's like, why? I did not know you cared about deen. I didn't know you were a Muslim. Forget about cared about deen. But for some reason or another, the fasting has been so ingrained within the ummah that even those people that don't practice deen at all, fasting, they'll fast 16, 15 hour days and they'll sacrifice. Meaning their nafs is being suppressed. And so for the salik, the same thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it now required. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, the fasting that was optional for you before, now, as of the second year of Hijri, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, it's now been required of you, so your nafs will now be suppressed whether you like it or not. You will spiritually rectify yourself. Take, for example, qiyamul layl, standing up in the night prayer. This is necessary for the believer, whether it be before going to sleep at night or whether it be waking up before Fajr and praying extra nawafil. It is spiritually necessary. But throughout the year, most of us struggle with this. No, even though we know, even though we remind ourselves and we know the rewards of it and we know how much spiritual progression can occur from waking up in the middle of the night and calling on Allah and praying toward Allah, we don't do it. But what happens now? The Tarawih prayer comes into play. And now we have no choice. It's a sunnah mu'akkada. It's an emphasized sunnah that cannot be left. So now we have to stand for 20 rak'ah in prayer every single night. Think about it. Would you be able to pull this off any other time of the year? Even if I was told to tell you that this is the way to become closer to Allah and to become nearer to Allah, this is the way to advance yourself, this is the way to earn tremendous reward, this is a sign of the awliya of Allah to pray salah at night. If you could do 20 rak'ah, great, outside Ramadan, how many of us would be able to maintain it? Almost no one. Now, it becomes an emphasized sunnah to the degree that every person has to pray the Tarawih prayer. So now you have to stand in Qiyam. You don't have a choice. Your nafs is now forced into doing what's best for you and your soul. Right? It's an opportunity. Those things that we've been wanting to do throughout the year, those things that we know are necessary for us throughout the year spiritually, that we can't accomplish on our own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces Ramadan upon us and says, you will spiritually benefit. You have no choice at this point. Your nafs is going to be suppressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the matter into his own hand. You know what happens when you trust yourself. Right? So qiyamul layl. Take, for example, Qur'an. Right? We know spiritually, we're supposed to be reciting the Qur'an. At least every day, some portion of the Qur'an should be recited. But we struggle to do so. And there's missed days. But for many of us, especially if you pray the Tarawih prayer, you're essentially engaging in the Qur'an more than you would at any other time of the year. Right? That circumstance has been created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has essentially required, more or less, that we engage more with the Qur'an. Look at the Tahajjud prayer, right? The Tahajjud throughout the year is necessary spiritually. To wake up before Fajr prayer and call upon Allah. I mean, really, the Salik, this should be part of their routine. We know its benefits. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is upon those people that wake up for the Tahajjud. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he descends to the lowest heavens and calls upon who wants my forgiveness, who wants my mercy. We know this is the best time for the salik, and yet the vast majority of us are not able to wake up at that time. Now what happens? Ramadan comes and you have to have suhoor. Most of us wake up for suhoor somehow or another. We are waking up at the time of tahajjud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing us to do so. Maybe it's through it for a different intention, which is so that we can eat food, but we're still waking up at the time of tahajjud. And all we have to do is pray two rak'ah at that time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our tahajjud. That deed that we were struggling with for 11 months now becomes much easier in these 30 days. So, and there's many examples of this. There's many examples through the month of Ramadan. You know, if you look at your life during the month of Ramadan, if you've stuck with just the legal principles, the requirements or the mandates of Ramadan, your daily life is like the life of a wali of Allah throughout the year. Like, it's unimaginable. It's unimaginable to think that I struggle to pray, you know, 10 rak'ah or, you know, 15 rak'ah over the course of the day, and now I'm going to stand for an extra 20 rak'ah at night. You know, it's unimaginable for us to think that I can give up one lunch for the sake of Allah so that I don't have to give in to everything, right? One lunch, I can not eat for 5 or 6 hours, and now we're giving up food and drink for 15, 16 hours, and not just for one day or 2 days of the week, but for 30 days consecutively. I mean, this is what the awliya of Allah do. This is not what normal people do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces this upon us. So for the sadiq, Ramadan is an opportunity. It's not a burden. It's an opportunity. It's now that chance where we look forward to And we say that, subhanAllah, I've had 11 months to try to become closer to Allah and do all of these things, fast, pray at night, recite Qur'an, engage myself in dhikr, etc. And give sadaqah. Those things I was struggling with throughout the year, now, finally, I'm required to do this. And now my nafs has, now I'm left with no choice. I'm going to be able to do all of these things that I've dreamt of doing, now I'm able to do. Now I'm able to do it. So we should be excited about Ramadan for this reason, right? Many reasons to be excited about Ramadan. There's other discussions, Allah's mercy, His forgiveness, the communal, how this is a communal obligation and the community gets together. There's many things to become excited about. But for the Sadiq in particular, this is now an opportunity for us to finally do what we want to do. To finally, you know, perform deeds in the way that we desire to perform deeds. To finally implement the sunnah, you know, that we should have been doing throughout the year for our spiritual rectification, but that we failed to do. Now is finally our chance to actually do these things. So, with this sort of an opportunity, right? With this sort of an opportunity, we welcome it, and we look forward to it. So now, when a person makes a du'a, that many times you hear, especially in Rajab and Sha'ban, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab and Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bless us in Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to reach Ramadan. Now this dua takes on a different meaning. Why allow me to reach it? Because now this is my one chance to actually work on myself. This is my one chance to actually work on myself and fully immerse myself into my routine and fully immerse myself into my ibadah and fully immerse myself such that my nafs is not able to do whatever it wants to do. It's been toying with me for 11 years. I'm just following it like an animal. Just do whatever it wants to do. I'm following it. Now for 30 days, I have no choice. Alhamdulillah, Allah, please allow me to reach this month because this is the only time of year where I can feel to some degree successful about my progression. This is what Ramadan is. This is what Ramadan is. This is why the people of Suduk, they really look forward to Ramadan. They're thinking about it in advance. There's a degree of preparation that does occur, and the ulama always talk about this, right? That you should begin increasing your fast, increasing your Quran, so that you hit the ground running. But then there's also this mental excitement that gets created. That I'm looking forward to this because I've been waiting to finally live like a Muslim. You know, I've been waiting to finally live like a true Muslim. I've been waiting to look in some way, shape, or form like a Sahabi. Like, you know, if it was the month of, you know, Dhul Qa'dah, there's nothing that resembles me in the Sahaba. Right? Like, there's nothing. I cannot in any way, shape, or form resemble the Sahaba. But in Ramadan, there's some semblance there, right? And that's important. It's important for us spiritually. It's important for us mentally. It's important for us. It's important because it encourages us as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to appreciate the greatness of Ramadan and the opportunity that's present in this blessed month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to achieve the goals that we have set forth during this month. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to carry through on whatever actions we've attached ourselves to during the month of Ramadan, even outside of the month. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.